Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Today is December 13th, Thursday. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XX, paragraph 3. Today's readers are Mary P., Joanne L., Tara L., Guanis N. The reference numbers for Tuesday, December 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,928, that's 20928. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,935. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Jody. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. from Texas. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God who may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XX, paragraph 3. I will now ask Kara L. to begin reading.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Alcohol being no respecter of persons, we are an accurate cross-section of America, and in distant lands, the same democratic evening-up process is now going on. By personal religious affiliation, we include Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Hindus, and a sprinkling of Muslims and Buddhists. More than 15% of us are women. Good morning, this is Kara L. from Long Beach, California, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. So these statistics are from 1955, because we're in the forward to the second edition, and already, you know, it's only been, what, like 16 years since the book has been out, give or take, and we're already able to say, like, this, it works. I mean, when I read things like that, it always tells me, like, it works. And, you know, that we have a whole chapter that says there's a solution. And for me, that always offers hope. You know, there's hope that we just keep seeing over and over again. It doesn't matter who you are. When you identify in, it's going to work at some point. I once had a mentor in this program said that you're in recovery if you never, you know, if your butt's in the chair. You know, if you do anything perfect, don't leave. And it took me, you know, took me a good long while, 15 years before I had a huge, as it says in the, you know, later on in some of our chapter, emotional rearrangement, right, or spiritual experience. And to where today my life is governed by a higher power. Everything I do is I just ask for direction, right? I go from this core of a higher power that gives me, you know, I'm able to give love and able to be of service, you know, because I have this connection. And I give service wherever I'm guided to give service. And it might be, you know, I have sponsees in other countries and they other religions, other, you know, and in the meetings, I'm just Kara. That's all. A person who is working to be of service. A person who, you know, daily tries to do my higher power's will and be. And that's a gift today. Because before recovery, I was never just me. I was always what you wanted me to be, you know, or what I was trying to think ahead of everything to be. And today, I work these steps diligently every day. And I try to be approachable, and I try to give kindness and love and compassion with everybody, in the rooms, out of the rooms, everywhere. And I'm so grateful that, like it says, it's no respecter of persons, my compulsive eating, you know, and that's great because then I got to be of service wherever my higher power takes me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. from California. We are on page XX, the third paragraph, which begins with alcohol being no respecter of persons. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Margo B.
Margo. Anyone else? Who would like to share? Okay, well, let's go ahead with Margo then. Please go ahead, Margo. I'll time you.
Hi, Margo here. Also, overeater, just really grateful for the meeting and what I'm hearing. Good to claim my seat. I just really, what came to me was the power of identification. I could sit there and describe what food does to me physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and I know I'm seen, I know I'm heard, I know I'm understood. When, you know, I crawled into these rooms, not even knowing anything, and just, like, just being understood. And even my struggle was being understood, and, like, how this power of food over me versus like just running to it, how it's a symptom, how it, and all that inside work that had to be done. It just, when I heard this paragraph, no respecter, but it doesn't even matter because when I'm in this room and somebody's talking, my head is going up and down, nodding. Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. It is just something that just transcends all when I really focus on this work and to really, you know, again, that just the power of the identification. So I remember once somebody sharing about, quote unquote, their relationship with food, and not one person questioned that or discussed it or anything, but she was like, who has a relationship with food? I mean, it was just, it blew me away, you know, because that's how well we understand, like, that power, that language of the heart. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Margo. I didn't get your initial or your state. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? We are on page 20.
B in New York. Thank you.
Jackie, B in New York. Thank you.
Jackie B in Georgia.
Jackie B in Georgia. Who else? Page 20, Roman numeral 20, XX, third paragraph, alcohol being no respecter of person.
Yvonne A. in BC, Canada.
Yvonne A. in BC, Canada.
Rhonda in Ohio.
Rhonda in Ohio.
Joan Marie in Nevada.
Joan Marie in Nevada. Okay, let's go with that list. Jackie B, Yvonne A, Rhonda, and Joan Marie. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, this is Jackie B, as in delightful, in Georgia. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for being here for me today. I tell you what, alcohol, food, all that stuff is no respecter of persons, because had it been a respecter of a person, I would think I wouldn't have the problems that I'm having now. I would think that I would not have the allergies that I have now, because I look at myself as a high-standing person and that I shouldn't be dealing with all the issues that I have. But I do, I do have these issues and I do deal with it, and I am so grateful that I have this program that is helping me deal with it. I am an African-American woman in my 50s, I don't have, thank God, I don't have the health issues that most of people of my demographic have. I am healthy, thank goodness, and it's all because of this program, and it's all because I have this relationship with my higher power that I am able to be here. I am able to spend this morning in Georgia walking. And the only reason I'm out of breath is because I'm trying to talk and walk at the same time. But, normally I don't have that problem. I can walk freely. I can love life, live life, and enjoy everything that life has to offer, because I am no longer in the food, because I am taking care of myself. And I am just incredibly blessed to be part of this program and to have found this program. And so with that, I will say once again that I am incredible, grateful human being, and I'm so glad to be here, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie D. in Georgia. Yvonne A., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Yvonne A. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. And yeah, I'm going to speak a little bit on the same thing, and this is absolutely no respecter. Food, sugar, whatever you like to think of as your alcoholic foods. It doesn't matter who we are. It does not discriminate based on age, gender, IQ, education, status, geography, religious, non-religious. It is an affliction that makes no differentiation. If we have it, we have it. And for me, I am in my early 60s. This is the only solution that I have found that took away that obsession, that told me I had an allergy of the body and that I was going to have to stop putting those alcoholic foods into my body. And that if I could do that and make a connection, have a spiritual awakening, that this is something that could go into remission for me. And so I'm just so very grateful that that is where I am today, that I have a life where I can be connected to my higher power, to my family, to my spouse, that I treat people with kindness, that I strive every day to be the kind of person that I think my higher power wants me to be. And the beautiful thing about this fellowship is the acceptance and the inclusivity. I don't get judged when I come here. I
I think Kara said she's just Kara and I'm just Yvonne. It doesn't matter what I've done prior to getting here. It just matters that I came through the door. Doesn't matter what my faith is. Doesn't matter what my belief system is. It doesn't matter how much money I have. I don't have to have a big membership to be here. I just have to keep showing up. Just have to keep putting my hand in the hand of my higher power every morning when I get up and say, God, let's do the best that we can today. You help me, stick with me. I'll pay close attention to where you're guiding me. And just life is beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, we say that here, but it is for me a miracle and a truth of my life today. And I could not be any happier about my situation. And so thank you so much for letting me share. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from British Columbia. Rhonda, please go ahead. And what is the initial of your last name?
That is N as in no.
Okay, got it.
Thank
please
you.
Go ahead.
This is Rhonda, compulsive overeater. Recovered for today, excuse me, in Ohio. Really appreciate this topic today of food and food in relation to respect. The alcoholic food, you know, certainly doesn't respect me in any way and doesn't allow me to respect others. But through choice and the program, it's the only way that can guide me in making healthy choices. Then I can respect myself, my body, my physical body. And I'm learning to respect my physical body. You know, life hasn't been respectful to me, and I've had to learn to accept that and become respectful anyway to myself and to others. And I'm still learning that through the program. It's the only thing that has worked for me as well. Many other alternative healings in addition to the program help, but the program is the core. For me, it's really what works. I've never been taught self-respect or self-love, and I'm learning that. Physically, you know, I take care of my body. I walk. I take my body to a meeting as often as possible, but mostly taking my body, mind, emotion, and spirit as well to my higher power, because they're all intertwined. And that's why I have to learn to practice these principles in all of my affairs. You know, I do the things that's recommended. I keep in contact with sponsors and sponsees, go to meetings, especially this meeting. This is the one that works for me, keeps me on track, and helps me stay focused on the good, because that's important to me. I can go down a foggy hole if I don't see the light a lot, and this meeting shows that, the joy, the happiness, the progress, the hope. And I'm so grateful that I am learning to respect my body through healthy choices together with my higher power that I can't make without that each day on all levels. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rhonda N. from Ohio. Joan Marie from Nevada, please share with us.
Good morning. Joan Marie, recovered in Nevada by the grace of God. Well, what stood out to me was about this cross-section of America and in the distant lands. There's people that I'm in contact today that I may never meet, but we have this common thing, and we have this commonality, and that is that we don't think about food or act around food like a person that eats normally. And the first thing I had to do was surrender my alcoholic foods to my higher power, who I choose to call God. But, you know, it doesn't matter because it is a spiritual program. And if I keep connected with the God of my understanding, I'm going to be able to stay free. If I don't, they rest on my laurels. I'm in trouble. I have to do this conscious contact of God every moment of the day. And this is what keeps me from wanting to overeat. I have no desire to do that. And even when things come up and agitations and, you know, things come up in life, life gets lively, and I just don't have that desire anymore. That's a miracle because I could not stop. I literally could not stop eating every moment of the day before I came back. This program is miraculous. God has many promises in this book, your higher power. This is an awesome program, but it takes work. And I was willing to do the work, and I am still willing to do the work. And I love my sponsees. They're precious to me. And I fill up when I think about that, the privilege that is. So today, if you're new, just keep on listening. It took me a while just listening and listening to Vision. And then I picked up the phone and I called someone. So it's a wee program. I could never do it alone. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan Marie from Nevada. Okay, I'll now take another list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page XX, the third full paragraph, which begins alcohol being no respecter of persons. Who would like to share?
Barbara W. from Washington State.
Barbara W., gotcha.
Tom L.
Tom L., California, I believe.
Dion R.
Dion R. Ohio.
CT from California.
Who's that?
CT, I use my initial CT.
CT from California, okay. Okay, let's go with those four people. Barbara W., Tom L., Dion R., and CT. Go ahead, Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. Barbara W. here from Seattle, Washington. Oh, what jumped out to me right away was the blessing I've had from my now departed mother knowing that people of any culture, any persuasion of any kind was acceptable. She taught immigrant, Mexican migrant children when I was just a girl of 10, and here I am at 78. And one thing I wanted to comment is that my belief system has come that it's like we're under this and we all belong there. And I live in an area where I'm going to see people of many different cultures. And I just cherish that with all my heart, because one time I was in a line and there were two lovely Muslim women behind me, and I was talking to them, and I accidentally dropped what I was holding in my hands. And one of the Muslim women just bent over, picked it up, and handed it back to me. And I was so touched by that. And it once again reminded me that I am one with all humanity. I don't differ just because people wear different clothing or speak a different language. It makes no difference. A smile is universal. Music is universal. It goes across the spectrum of all people. And I am so grateful because when I sing in my choir, I believe I'm singing for everyone, anyone, even somebody in, I'll put Outer Mongolia, could hear the music sing and be touched by it, even though they don't understand the language. It's the music that touches us all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington. Tom L., please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Tom L. from California. Grateful to be here. I've tried to live with food for my whole life, and sometimes I was able to keep my weight under control, but most of the time not. I care to keep my weight under control. And I was like, I will just have the fun that I can have. I knew other people didn't get the enjoyment out of binging that I did. And I didn't understand why that was the case. And if I was wanted to that enjoyment, I binge and I accepted the consequences. And if that was still the case, I would not be here. I would just be heavy and get on with my life. But I have, it's an analogy to alcoholism. I cannot keep it within bounds. It does not respect who I am. I feel that I shouldn't have to deal with this because my family doesn't have to deal with it. I mean, genetically, I have lots of people in my family don't have a weight problem at all. Some have a moderate weight problem, and they get through with the usual, you know, controlling and enjoying. I am at one end of the spectrum where it's just out of control, and I'm absolutely miserable. Going through a little rough spot currently, which is promised, by the way, in our literature that we would do, the certain trials and low spots ahead. I personally wish that I wasn't the cause of many of these trials and low spots. I wish it was random and world events, but for me, I cause most of my own misery. The food does not change. I have surrendered not only my alcoholic foods, but the right to make independent decisions. I consult with my sponsor, a nutritionist, other people who are in recovery. I don't come up with my own ideas with food, and that would be great if that was, you know, the solution. But I think I want to dance with the devil again. It's just the way I am. I've always been that way. That it will be different this time. I think very highly of myself sometimes, but that profound insanity, that's going to be with me for the rest of my life. And luckily, there is this program written in 1939. If you can come up with a better program, please publish it, especially one that has less work involved and less surrender. I would really appreciate that, but I haven't found it, and I am getting up in years. I've run out of time of trying to figure this thing out, and for 2.5 years, I hadn't had to pick up a compulsive bite. That is a miracle. But there are trials and low spots ahead. Currently, this is a trial. And I need to go to my higher power in the method that this book describes. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tom L. from California. Dion R. from Ohio, please share.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, all. This is Dion R., very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And here I am again, still making my amends to the group, and especially you, Jody. Yes, it's I know it's the holiday season. A lot was planned. I made a lot of obligations and didn't think. Sometimes I have to think, but I overextended myself. I'm still in the midst of action right now, but I'm like, first things first. My spiritual recovery must come first. But I do know I needed to make amends because we fall down and get back up. Not only doing it for myself, but the newcomer that perhaps, you know, during these times for 23 years in OA, I slipped, I fell. And I felt so ashamed that I was supposed to admit that I was wrong and get back up again. And the gift that you guys gave me in this program is that when I admit it, the fear, the all the ugliness, it disappears. And I do what I can to correct that behavior. And besides making amends on a live meeting, it's not something I, you know, aspire to do growing up, but I'll do it. Whatever it takes to keep my abstinence, my recovery. And back to the reading, it reminds me, what I got out was like the way these men did their life, looking further, how that it affected so many communities. It's just this way of living, accepting all. I mean, you know, no respect to persons. Like, they did, they started off in the beginning, but the gift of the spirit of that program allowed people to have an open mind and say, well, how can we, you know, how can I judge someone in different, want their healing or whatever they did to allow different groups, different cultures into the meeting? And with that, it is spreading worldwide, like they said. It continues, the growth continues, the love continues. We start with one person having an open mind and being open. Like I said, all these different religions, different aspects of the world where I still believe it started in the 12 steps. I could be wrong, probably way before then, but where I can receive it was in the 12 steps of recovery. And Overeaters Anonymous has saved my life because food was my drug of choice. While I was in the bulk of abuse as a child or whatever, today it is not reality, realness, and my recovery and my relationship with God is. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for allowing me to be of service and try to be a little bit more than human again, but right now I got to clean up my mess. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all, and have a happy holiday season if you don't talk with me before now. Next season. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. You are forgiven. I am going to ask our backup reader to read the closing because I want to respect her as well. CT, please go ahead.
Hi, my name is CT. I'm a compulsive eater. Good morning, everyone. I love this paragraph where it talks about 15% of the people are women. I live in Southern California. I'm in California. And kind of as another person mentioned, not in this meeting, in another meeting, it's kind of the Jerusalem of recovery. And I go to women's meetings, and the regression, thank God, that more women have come into the rooms of 12-step programs because I need that fellowship of women around me to do this thing one day at a time. And the other part I liked about it was it talks about religion, whether we have it or don't have it. We're all welcome here. I came into the rooms with a childhood religion that I no longer believe in. And I'm so grateful that I get to pick a God of my understanding. And my God, I call Judy J. When I share that in meetings, I see a lot of smiles because I think there's a lot of people who love the idea, as we heard earlier, that this is an inclusive program and we get to pick what works for us to save our lives. So for me, with the fellowship of women around me, Judy J, the steps without question, I have an amazing life, that I never thought that I would have. And with that, I pass.
UCT from California. We still have time for a few more shares. Who else would like to share on this paragraph, page XX, alcohol being no respecter of persons? It's the third paragraph.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Sean P. from California.
Sean P. Maybe one more.
Alexis F. from New Jersey.
Alexis F. Great. Okay, please go ahead, Elaine.
Thanks so much, Jody.
So much good stuff in this paragraph. You know, not a religious organization or take any a particular medical viewpoint, though they cooperate widely with men of medicine as well as men of religion. And this is all about, you know, getting along, being able to honor and respect individuals, being able to recognize the fact that we need support and we need help, and that we need to be open to you know, medical care, to psychological care, to religious openness, you know, and a cross-section of America. And there's so many nations represented in these United States, and all the more most recently. And it is just so amazing that, you know, everybody gets to decide their higher power, how they're going to enact, how they're going to respond to it, and how they're going to live out those principles. But no matter what faith it is, I know people are experiencing what I experienced, which is taking a faith that was well-practiced, you know, well-attended, well-received by me, but opening doors that no man could have opened because of the work of the 12 steps. You know, through that, I learned more about how to be in relationship with other people, with recognizing I needed help. And it is so true of the founders of this program. We have to get help from the people from medical, you know, that have medical insights of this. We need the support of our faith of choice in order to expand and maintain, because throughout the book it's very clear that God is our solution no matter what the ism is. And that I love that every fear inventory, what will God have us be? This is a relational experience. And to be able to be with people of similar faith that enjoy that experience as well, that learn, that taught, that continue to grow and dive deeper, it's an important aspect of this. Just as like we get to grow and grow deeper in our 12-step recovery. I mean, every step, why would I, if I were like 100% recovered, I'd never have to do a 10. I'd never have to do an 11. I'd never have to double check at night before I go to bed. Did I miss anything? I wouldn't have to or want to be on the line, but I do. I do have to. I need to continue doing this. And I am really glad that it's a mixed fellowship. Thank you very much. I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Elaine B. Sean P., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Sean P. calling from California. Love this reading, and so grateful that we're talking about diversity in the rooms, because it's such a vital issue. You know, there are many people out there who are still suffering and dying from this program, but this program doesn't always feel welcoming to them. And, you know, the reading talks about how this disease does not discriminate, but people do. You know, the prejudices that are a part of our culture don't just drop away when we walk through the doors, right? Are the prejudices that we carry with us still live on in the fellowship? And so if we're not actively trying to unlearn those prejudices, then we're unknowingly not welcoming some people into these rooms. You know, we have a Unity with Diversity Committee and the World Service Conference that have both, or the World Service Board, I guess, who have both written to our OA fellowship about the problem of intolerance in our rooms, right? So it's an issue that people in the fellowship are definitely talking about. It's on the move. One of the issues that World Service talked about was the problem of labeling shares as outside issues. you know, people often need to share about issues that are uncomfortable to other people in the fellowship. And these are real issues that are leading them to overeat. But these are issues that may seem like outside issues to other people, right? Some examples include police brutality, sexual abuse, racism, homophobia. These are stressors, y'all. You know, these are things that real people in our fellowship are struggling with and could lead them to overeat if, or undereat, or eat compulsively if they're not able to share about it in the rooms. And so while some of us may be uncomfortable with those shares, it's important for all of us to learn to tolerate discomfort. I know for me, you know, that challenge of tolerating discomfort has been part of my recovery, part of my struggle to tolerate the discomfort of wanting to overeat without doing it, right? And just allowing my higher power to transform those cravings. And, you know, reflecting on my own experience, I myself have inappropriately spoken to somebody about their share, which I considered an outside issue, and I had to make an amends for that. So I'm not any kind of innocent person in this issue. You know, I've been in a – oh, thanks. I'll just close up by saying just really grateful for this meeting and grateful that we can have this dialogue together. All right. Take care.
Thank you, Sean P. from California. Alexis, if you could take a 2-minute share, please.
This is Alexis F. in New Jersey, East Coast. I went to a nutritionist years ago who didn't understand compulsive overeating. She told me to eat 3 ham sandwiches a day on white bread, because I was losing too fast. When you have a lot of weight to lose, sometimes it comes off very fast. And I went to confession one time, and all he kept saying was, the priest, what are you doing about your weight? What are you doing about your smoking? And I'm thinking, they're not sins, you know, why is he making such a fuss about them? And I was such a horrendous compulsive overeater that it wasn't enough to have one slice of cake. I ate the whole thing. I ate gallons of ice cream at a time. And I went to a medical doctor for my knees, and he said it would help if you lose weight. And there's an insanity in that it's very profound. And when your mind is not right and you have an insanity to deal with to begin with, it seems almost impossible to give these things up. My psychiatrist, I was going to see a psychiatrist for weight loss because I was so obese. And I haven't had them in 8.5 years. And to me, that's a miracle. You know, I eat things that are most other people probably wouldn't eat on abstinence. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. Yeah. From New Jersey. Thank you very much. Okay. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So the backup reader would like to have you read it, Dion, if you're willing and you're on the line still. Dion, are you there?
I'm ready. This is Juanice.
Okay. Okay, Juanice, go ahead. Thank you, Juanice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Juanice, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in California. And this is a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick, The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me be of service. And I'll